So we're up to the last song, which is the song for Shabbos.
Do you have a
Yes.
I need record.
You want it?
Maybe there are a couple down there. Oh, I have a couple here. I didn't realize. Oops. All right.
So this is the song for Shabbos, the last one, and then we have to figure out what we want to do after this. The song for Shabbos, I think, is the oldest song in the history of the world. Who was the first one to sing this song?
David.
Not David. Who was before David? There's two people who the Medrash says that sung the song. Not Miriam. One is Moshe. Moshe may have written this. But it goes even older than that. Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon sang this song, the Medrash tells us. And it was sung at the very end of Friday, of when he was created, right before he entered into Shabbos. So this is the oldest song in history.
How do they back that one up?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is what the Medrash says.
And besides
this is a tradition.
I've got another question. How long did Adam and Chava stay in the Garden of Eden before they were kicked out?
This is after he was kicked out.
Okay.
He said this after he was kicked out. The Medrash describes what happened every hour on Friday, of that Friday. So I believe it was in the afternoon when he was kicked out of Gan Eden.
On the first day.
He also had kids on the first day. It was a busy day.
So many diapers.
It was a busy day.
Maybe the days.
Okay, so we'll try to explain exactly why he said it. We'll explain it in a minute why he said this chapter of Tehillim.
Oh dear.
Sorry. No problem. So let's first see the first source, the Gemara, as to why we say it nowadays on Shabbos. It says B'Shvi Hayu Omrim Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. On the seventh day, we say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, which is this paragraph, this chapter of Tehillim. Why? Liyom Shekulo Shabbos, because this is the day that is Kulo Shabbos, that is for the day that is Kulo Shabbos. What is the day that? What does it mean that it's the day that is Kulo Shabbos, that is all Shabbos? It's referring to the times of Mashiach.
Yeah.
Our Shabbos, the one that we have once every 7 days, there's a lot of themes to Shabbos, which we'll get to. Hopefully over the course of the next half hour or so. So one of the themes of Shabbos is the fact that this is a miniature time period of what will come in the time of Mashiach. This rest that we have on Shabbos is supposed to represent Liyom Shekulo Shabbos, the day of complete rest, which is referring to the times of Mashiach. That this is a time period where we're devoting to complete rest. We separate ourselves from our daily activities, and we're supposed to just focus on our Creator. That it's a day of rest to focus on our Creator, and it's to separate ourselves from the rest of the week. And so that really represents what will ultimately happen during the times of Mashiach. During the times of Mashiach, it would also be a whole time period of rest. And so this Mizmor, this chapter in Tehillim, has something to do with the times of Mashiach. It's about what will happen during the times of Mashiach. And that's part of the theme of Shabbos, of resting on Shabbos. The Medrash tells us that Adam HaRishon, Adam, so he sang this. This was sung right before Shabbos. He was talking to his son Cain, who told him that there's a concept of tshuva, there's a concept of repentance. And that he was able to repent after he killed Hevel. He killed his brother Hevel, and he told him that there's a concept of repentance. And so Adam was relieved, because he was just kicked out of Gan Eden. He wasn't supposed to ever die. And then as a punishment from eating from the Eitz Hadas, so as a punishment for that, he was going to die. He wasn't going to die right then and there, but he wasn't going to live forever. Originally he was supposed to live forever, and he was told that he wasn't going to live forever. So he thought that all was lost. If I'm not going to live forever, that means there's an end point. So then what's the point? At the end of the day, there's going to be nothing left of me. And so Kayin, the Medrash says, Kayin taught him about the concept of repentance and that we could return to Hashem, and also seemingly the concept of the fact that there's an afterlife. It's true that he'll die at a certain point in time.
Who's Kayin?
Kayin is his king, his son. Sorry. And so he was relieved over the fact that there is a concept of returning to Hashem, and that after we die, so then there's also an afterlife, and that during the times of Mashiach there'll be a concept of Tchiyas HaMesim, where there's the resurrection of the dead, and that we'll come back. And so with that he was relieved, and from that he said this paragraph, and he entered into Shabbos. Shabbos, which represents in our world, that represents, it's supposed to be a miniature representation of the times of Mashiach. So he was able to say this paragraph. So this is a very powerful paragraph. Definitely historically, this was said by the Adam Harishon, by Adam, right on that first Friday, going into Shabbos. So let's read this. Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbos. Well, so read it and then we'll go back. Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbos. So it's clear that this is about Shabbos, right? Every other one, the other six that we've been dealing with, it never says Mizmor Shir Liyom Rishon, Mizmor Shir Liyom Sheni. It doesn't say that at all. Here, it's clear that this is for Shabbos. Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbos. This is a song for Shabbos. Tov lohodos laHashem ulezamer l'shimcha elyon. It is good to praise Hashem and to sing his high name, to sing to his high name. Verse 3, lahage baboker chastecha bemunascha balelos, to say his praise in the morning and your trust in him at night. That you have to have trust in him at night. We're just going to go through it and then we'll explain in a minute. Verse 4, alei ashor v'alei naval alei higayon b'chinur, that we're going to sing to you with musical instruments and with harmony. Verse 5, Kisi machtani Hashem b'falacha b'ma'aseh yadecha aranein. You have made me happy through your actions, and through your deeds, I have rejoiced. I'm happy based on what you did, essentially. Based on what you did, I'm happy. Verse 6, Magadlu ma'asecha Hashem, how great are your actions. Oh, they're so great. Amku machshavosecha, your thoughts are so deep, Hashem, your thoughts are so deep. Verse 7, Ish bar lo yeda uchsil lo yavin ezos. Those who don't understand, those who are fools, do not understand your ways. Verse 8, Befroach rishaim kamo esev v'yatzitzu kol pole aven lihishamedam ade ad. The wicked, they sprout like grass, and ultimately they will all be destroyed. All the wicked will be destroyed. V'ata marom le'olam Hashem. Verse 9, you Hashem, you will be exalted, you will stand on high. Verse 10, ki hine oivecha Hashem, ki hine oivecha yovedu, yispardu kol pole oven. Behold Hashem, your enemies will be destroyed, they'll be scattered, there will be no more. Verse 11, v'tarim kireim karni balosi b'shemen ra'anan, you raise my horn high, like that of an ox, and I'm soaking in oil, in very fresh oil. This is about like some sort of luxury that I'm happy, I'm doing well. My enemies are being destroyed. I am happy. I could soak in oil. Verse 12, V'tabet eini bishurai bakamim alai mireim tishmana oznai. I could see my destroyed enemies. I could hear of their downfall, and this is what they're. And some explain this, the following is what they say. Even the enemies are saying this in verse 13. Tzadik hatamar yifrach ke'eraz ba'avanon yiskeh. These are very beautiful words. The righteous will bloom like a date tree. Ke'eraz ba'avanon yiskeh. They will thrive like the cedar in the Lebanon, in Lebanon. Very strong cedar. In verse 14. Shesulim beveis Hashem b'chatzos elokeinu yafrichu. The righteous will be planted in the house of Hashem, and they will flourish in the house of Hashem, in the courtyard of Hashem. Verse 15, Odinuvan Beseva Deshenim Viranim Yehiyu. They will continue to produce fruit, they will be fresh. Lahagid, and finally, Lahagid Ki Yashar Hashem Tsuri Velo Avlasabo. Everyone will recognize that Hashem is just, You are our tsuri, our rock. There's nothing wicked about you. So this is all praise of Hashem. This is all praise of Hashem. There's a line in there which says that the fools don't really understand you. But we, in the times of Mashiach, we will understand you. We'll have a tremendous appreciation for what you have done through your handiwork, through your actions. And we will in the end, the last line says that everyone will say that you are just and there's nothing wicked about you. There's not a single thing which is wicked about you. That's what it is. That's the theme of this chapter. So I think the connection to the times of Mashiach could be easily seen here. One of the most difficult things, if not the difficult things, is to recognize the hand of Hashem in our world, that there's so many things that happen in our world that we say, where is God within the world? And in the times of Mashiach, this is what this chapter is telling us, is that we'll be able to recognize and see exactly what happened. And Hashem will guide us to show us that throughout history, how Hashem was really very much involved, and there was a direction and path in which He wanted the history to go in. And we'll have a complete understanding of what's going on in the world. That's what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. So much so that we're going to say, as it says in the last line, "V'lo avlas abo." There's not a single thing which happened which we could say that Hashem did something which was wicked, which was cruel. Hashem, in the times of Mashiach, nothing He did that we could say. It's very hard and very difficult for us to say this now. We can't see that. But in the times of Mashiach, so then we would be able to say this. And so that's what Shabbos. Part of what Shabbos is about. One of the themes of Shabbos is also about the fact that this is supposed to represent the times of Mashiach. It's a day of rest which represents the times of Mashiach. And it's also a day of reflection. One of the commentators, the Radak, says that Shabbos is a day of reflection. During the week, we're so busy, we're going, running here and there. We don't really have time to sit back and just reflect on the previous week, on what's going on in my life. We have less time to reflect. And so the Radak says that this chapter is also, it's there to tell us that we're supposed to take the time to really sit back and reflect on what's happening, to see God's hand in the world. It's definitely going to be a lot easier to see in the times of Mashiach, but Shabbos is devoted for, it's a separation from the rest of the week so that we could reflect on the previous week and what's going on in our own lives. So let's go back to see each sentence. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. This is a song for Shabbos. Tov lehodos laHashem ulezamer l'shimcha elyon. It's good to praise Hashem ulezamer l'shimcha elyon, and also to sing His song. There's a commentator, the Ibn Ezra, who has a beautiful insight here. He says, Tov lehodos laHashem, you have to praise Hashem. He says, be'emunas halev, in your heart. In your heart you have to praise Hashem. Ulezamer l'shimcha elyon, the second half is in song. He says, I think, bepeh ubegaron, through your mouth and through your throat. So there's two different ways, which are both necessary, when you praise Hashem. It has to be be'emunas halev, it has to be with a full heart. You have to really believe in what you're in your praise, in a faithful heart, thank you. You have to believe in what you're saying. And also, you have to say it out loud. Sometimes we believe it, but it can be difficult to say it out loud, to actually say it out loud could be the hard part. That we believe something, but to believe it so strongly that it comes out of our mouth, so then sometimes we have difficulty with that. And also the opposite is also true. Sometimes we say things that we don't believe in. Sometimes we could talk without really believing in it. And so we need to have both. We need to believe in it. We really have to believe in it. And we have to we believe in it so much that we're willing to tell other people about it, that we're going to announce it. We're going to tell the rest of the world about it. This is also the Radak, the commentator that I mentioned earlier, he says on this verse, on this pasuk, that this is a time to reflect on Shabbos of the greatness of Hashem. He says that it's a time also to study Torah, which is a pitch for what we want to do on Shabbos, to have a class on Shabbos. But it's a time to understand Hashem more, and the way we understand Hashem is through studying His Torah. And so Radak says that on this verse. There's another commentator, the Malbim, who explains that this whole paragraph, this whole chapter is about emunah, is about belief in Hashem. It's all about belief in Hashem, and that Hashem runs the world both through the natural and through the miraculous, through miracles, the supernatural. And he explains it. He goes throughout the chapter and he explains where he sees that both are. We see references to both the natural and the supernatural. And that's also a theme of Shabbos. Shabbos. One of the themes of Shabbos is the reason why we rest. Why do we rest on Shabbos? It goes back to the 7 days of creation, or the 6 days of creation, and then the seventh day of rest. That God Himself rested on Shabbos. So when we rest on Shabbos, it's supposed to remind us of Hashem and the fact that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh day He rested. So Shabbos, there's a lot of themes to Shabbos. Part of Shabbos is about to have us rest so that we can reflect, we can have a separation from the rest of the week. But another part of Shabbos is also to strengthen our belief, to strengthen our emunah, because the reason why we rest is also because Hashem Himself rested on Shabbos. In fact, our rabbis tell us that they asked, did he create anything on Shabbos? Was anything created on Shabbos? So one of the explanations is that yes, rest was created on Shabbos. Rest is rest requires an active process, an intentional process of creating that rest.
I was just I went to a class last night and they were talking about how God never stops creating, constantly creating. And so I said, so on Shabbos He rests. What does that mean?
Yeah.
If He stopped creating, then we'd cease to exist. He said, the rabbi said that it's throughout the week he created through speech, and on Shabbos He created through thoughts.
Through thought. Interesting.
So it was interesting. A nice,
yeah, that's an interesting idea.
So, and also how we shouldn't speak the same language that we speak during the week.
Yes, that's also true. That we're supposed to talk. Yeah, we're supposed to talk differently on Shabbos than the rest of the week. It's
got so much work to do. I'm so hopeless.
Okay, we have to. All of us have to work on this. This is slowly. You work on it slowly. It works slowly. So if you. Whatever it is, if you don't spend any time studying Torah on Shabbos, so then spend 10 minutes studying, read a Torah book on Shabbos for 10 minutes. Everyone at their own pace. They have to figure out how to add to their Shabbos experience. Verse 3. This is, in my mind, this is one of the key psukim, key verses of this chapter. Lahagid baboker chastacha, in the morning we speak of His chesed, of His kindness, and at night it's about our emuna, our belief. What's the difference between morning and night? Between at night is when it's dark, it's hard to see the hand of Hashem, it's confusing, we don't have clarity. So in that point in time we're supposed to talk about our faith, that even though we don't see things properly, we don't have a clear picture as to what's going on. But we still have to have that faith. We still have to have that emunah, that faith in Hashem at night. But in the morning, after that darkness comes the morning. And in the morning, so that's when we get that clarity. In fact, the Jewish day, when does the Jewish day start?
In the evening.
In the evening. It starts at night. So really, the way it works for the Jewish day is that first there's that darkness and that confusion, and then you get to that clarity. There's also a concept that you can't get to clarity without having some sort of confusion. If you're not able to experience darkness, it's harder to see light. There is such a concept out there. But we, at least in the Jewish in the Jewish day, there's darkness, and then after that darkness, we reach that point in time where there's morning, where we're able to praise Hashem for His kindness. Yes.
I think also could it not be that, you know, with in the morning, there's one thing that says of how in the morning the flowers and the grass are all full of life and fresh, and by the end of the day they're withered and brittle. And in a way, you know, at daybreak you're full of big ideas, what you're going to accomplish today, what you're going to do, blah 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 blah. At the end of the day, you've done whatever you can. You're appreciating that you've gotten through. At the end of the day, it's like that's the time. It's like a little mini Shabbat, you know.
it's a very interesting point. It's a very interesting point because there's another commentator here who says if you look at the words here, baboker is in the singular. Baboker in the morning is in the singular. Night is in the plural. It's not a specific night, but it's nights in the plural. So why are nights in the plural and boker, morning, is in the singular? So he explains that the nights are referring to every night of the week, as you mentioned, because the night is also a time to sit back and reflect. So at nights, every night of the week, we have that opportunity to, we could take time out to reflect. Yeah. Boker, the morning, he says, there's only one morning a week where we have that opportunity, which is on Shabbos. Because in the morning we're rushing. Mm-hmm. But so at nights, every night of the week we could carve out time to say I'm gonna take a moment just to think about my day. But the only time we could do that in the morning would be on Shabbos. So that's
faktish to do everything Friday for Shabbat. Everything is ready. You rest at Shabbat, in the morning you can start.
Yeah. Exactly.
Practicality.
Yeah.
I know this is specific to Shabbat, but Dina, what you're saying really resonates with me, because I think it could refer in a slightly different way to every day and every night, that at night, let's say, you review your accomplishments of what you did during the day, or maybe your failings.
No, so that's what he's saying. He's saying that this could be every night.
And then the night you're sleeping and you're refreshing yourself, you wake up in the morning with high hopes and with goals and everything like that. I think it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For every day and for every night.
It's true. No, but that's exactly what that person was saying. That Lelos is in the plural to tell you every night. It's every night. Every night you have that opportunity to reflect. Verse 4 says, Alei Ashor v'alei Novel, Alei Higayam b'chinor, that will praise Hashem with musical instruments. These are different types of musical instruments. I think one is with 10 strings, one's with 8 strings, and also with harmony. Ki simachtani Hashem befo alecha, for you have made me happy, made me rejoiced through your actions. B'masa yadecha aranein, I am rejoiced through your actions. It essentially repeats it. If you look at the Hebrew, the Hebrew, there are two different words here to describe actions. One is ki simachtani Hashem befo alecha, poel, that's one of them. And then it says b'maaseh yadecha aranein. Maaseh is an action, and poel is also an action. What's the difference between poel poalecha and maaseh yadecha? These two different words. These two different words just mean the same thing. They mean action. But what's what's the difference?
And your doings.
Poel is not.
Poel is like
a doing. Poel is doing, and what's a maaseh is your action.
But isn't it like a wondrous action, like a godly action?
Maaseh could also be used in with regards to people. In Hebrew, you could use the word maaseh for people also. But I think you're close. I think you're close onto something. So, poel to lif'ol is the action of currently doing. That you're currently involved in the process. I think the term maaseh is about the end result of your action. It's a completed action. Yeah. Maaseh is a completed action, and poel is when you're currently involved in the action. And if that's the case, so
one
then
is present, one's past.
Well, yeah, one is as it's going on currently,
yeah.
And one is it's done. The action took place already. It's done. And now I'm happy because after that action took place. And so then it's not just repetition here. This is saying that I rejoice over your actions that are currently taking place. Before Alecha is the current actions that are taking place, even though I don't see the end result. But just I'm in the process and I'm rejoicing while I'm in that process. And I also rejoice, I'm happy after everything takes place, at the end of the process. So both during the process, I'm happy, and also at the end of the process. Again, this is all what's said on Shabbos and during the times of Mashiach, that I'm happy during that process and also at the end of the process. Magadlu ma'asecha Hashem me'od, verse 6, how great are your actions? Again, it's repeating his actions. How great are your actions? But then the second half of the statement of the verse in verse 6, it adds a point, not just ma'asecha, but amku machshavosecha. How deep are your thoughts? How deep are your thoughts? So it's not just actions here, but it's also how deep are your thoughts. So what is it referring to here? How deep are your thoughts? So some explain that the depthness of your thoughts are referring to the Torah, the study of Torah, that your actions is how God deals with the world. But amku machshavosecha, how deep are your thoughts, is in terms of the unbelievable wisdom of the Torah. And that's the depth of your thoughts. Hashem's thoughts, quote unquote, whatever it means that Hashem has thoughts, his thoughts are placed in the Torah. We get a better understanding of God through studying his Torah. That's one explanation. A second explanation is basically leading on to the next two or three verses, where Amku Machshavosecha is about how great are your thoughts, how deep are your thoughts in terms of what happens to people in this world, about why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. That we don't understand it, but you, Hashem, have a thought process behind it. It's not random. We don't believe that it's random, but we don't understand why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. But there is a depth behind it that we just don't understand. And in the times of Mashiach, so we'll be able to say, Amku Machshavosecha, how great are your thoughts, that we'll be able to understand it during the times of Mashiach.
But this bothers me. I know that we can't understand it, but like the next verse talks about a brutish man and so on. If somebody has been brought up very, very poorly and is a brutish man through, let's say, no fault of his own, or somebody is born and their brain doesn't function the way a normal person's does, we used to call them retarded, not anymore. What fault is it of theirs? And what do the Midrashim say, Midrashim, what do they say about those people?
No, nobody. I don't think it's putting a fault on anybody. I don't think there's no fault that's placed on anybody. In our own lives, it's difficult to see Hashem in our own lives. I think that's not a fault on anybody to say that I just went through a difficult time. I don't see the hand of God in my life. I don't think there's no fault with thinking like that. It's normal to think like that, and we even say we're not supposed to say, oh, I completely understand it, because we don't understand it in our own lives. So it's not, if people don't understand the hand of God, they can't see it. There's a difference between not understanding and believing that at some point in time I will understand. Those are two different things. So this is not like a fault that's placed on any specific person. This is just reality. This is reality that we have a hard time understanding things. And that in the times of Mashiach, we'll have clarity.
I think it's more of a question of faith. If you don't understand, perhaps that's where you learn to understand. And if you have faith, you want to understand.
You learn to understand that you don't understand. And that the key is that we have emunah, we have faith, like you said, that
right.
At some point in time we'll understand. But it's normal and
so then why can't they in seven, like going back to what you were saying, why do they have to say a brutish man or a fool? Why can't they just say,
exactly,
we don't understand this? And
this is in the times of Mashiach. This is in the times of Mashiach, we will understand. It's referring to our enemies. That verse is referring to our enemies. Our enemies will continue to...
But in times of Mashiach, won't everyone understand?
I think we will understand. I think this might be referring to right before the times of Mashiach, where our enemies will be destroyed. There'll be a point in time where enemies will be destroyed. So that verse is referring to those who constantly deny God. They constantly deny God, so they don't understand anything.
Are you saying our enemies are those who don't understand God?
Our enemies are the ones that, yeah, our enemies are the ones that refuse to understand that.
But there's lots of those people that don't understand God and refuse to accept it. Does that make them our enemies?
No, I don't think that makes that. There's a whole wide range of people that don't understand God.
Right.
I think most people that don't understand God, it's, you know, a lot of people, they weren't taught to understand God.
Right.
So it's not their fault. It's not.
But why would they be described as enemies then?
No, so no, I think this is specifically referring to our enemies. I don't think this is referring to all people who don't understand.
Oh, okay.
It's specifically referring to within our enemies who are specifically trying to attack us because they intentionally are go through the thought process and they say, you are wrong. You are wrong. Everything is wrong about you. We want to destroy you because of your theology. So that's who it's referring to. It's not talking about any rant. or whoever it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one. There's an enemy.
So it's like people who are going against our...
Who are specifically rebelling, rebelling against God. I would say that most people who don't understand God nowadays, it's not because they're rebelling against God, intentionally rebelling against God, it's just they haven't been brought up
100%.
To think about God
or they don't
at all.
Or they don't have the mental capacity.
A lot of people repel like just the idea of even being open to like even being open to even listen to what you
and a lot of that is from the culture that they grew up in the culture, and it's not to their fault.
That's why I was going to say that when it says how great are your works and how very subtle your designs and stuff, like how deep are your thoughts, if you can think of like even startup companies and things like that where there's a vision that many people will not understand, but somebody and some group, like whatever team they put together, are trying to get to a specific place that then... what they say, you know, it's going to bring a new light into the world to add to whatever light is there already is. But when you think of that, it's like you look at some of the concepts that have been achieved into deeds, and they are deep and they are involved way more than the general population will take on or even be able to conceive of. That's why they have these like each team, whether it's in medical or whether it's in social or whatever.
You're saying within the process, it's hard to see, but it's, you only could see
a fait accompli
after it's complete. You see you see the bigger picture afterward. Right. So that's exactly what's going on here. That is exactly.
And I think that in a lot of ways, it's saying thank you for including me in this, even though
in the process.
I'm included in it, even though I may not understand it right now.
Yeah.
I'm being taken as a participant.
You know, I wanted to say something.
Every day.
You're willing to be part of the process.
Well, but every day you're a participant in life, whether you are accepting of it or doing something good with it.
Yeah.
But you are a participant, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you realize that a lot of things are going on around you that are way deeper than you can get to, wow, it's even more appreciation to be a participant, isn't it?
That's true. I think that's a great point. That's exactly what he was saying there. That's a great point.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, even when you raise kids, and it's some of us have more challenges than others, some of us expect more, whatever. You know, I know from my experience, I was very challenged, and I really had to dig deep and just get really very just immersed in what I was doing and what I was confronted with in raising Jewish kids here. And now in retrospect, and it's still challenging, the challenges are still there, they're just the paths are a little bit more grouped in what I'm willing to budge on and not budge on, or whatever. In retrospect, I can see what I needed to go through, but when you're in it, I don't know, it's just a funnel, you just...
No, it's very hard. It's hard to reach that level. It's definitely hard to reach that level.
But it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time and I don't know, you don't always get rewarded right away.
No, you don't. Yeah.
Or you may not know everything. You may not know everything either. You know, I still have my mom saying things to me, and it's like, oh my God, it was a blessing. And I'm like, for me, it's a blessing that I'm not in the same city as my family, because I would never be able to do what I've done here. I would never be able to raise them in the way in which I could, just because the remarks that people would have made to me would have
swayed you a different way.
Right.
Mm. It would have prevented me from moving forward or in the direction that I maybe would have not moved, you know?
Right.
But I would not have known that without being kind of like time and being able to reflect and having Shabbos and like, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah, you need, It's hard to see it when you're in the process. It's very difficult to see it when you're in the process.
Someone said to me something the other day, and it's like, you know, they made a comment like, wow, Robin, you know, wow, I can't believe you're in that situation now. Like in a positive way, and it was all good. It's like, She said, boy, did you ever have to, you know, she told me what she thought, and I kind of went, okay, I don't want to hear anymore because I really don't want to know what they saw. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I mean, I know what I felt. I know what I had to go through, but I don't want to know there. I know they had a lot to say. I just didn't want to hear it because I know it was a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why
for
God sure. put our feet on facing forward.
That's
very true.
I what other choices are?
That's right. There's no other. Your toes are going forward. You can stand like a ballerina, like this, or whatever way you want to go. You got to go forward.
Well, it doesn't matter what other people think. Yeah.
It's true, right?
Yeah, it's definitely true. Yeah, it's true.
Took me a long time with my nose down. Like, that's the way you gotta go. Keep your head up.
The ants would have said the ants. In old age, they will produce fruit.
We'll get to that.
There
we'll
will
get
sap and freshness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
There you got your answer.
So in verse 7, Ish bar lo yida chsil lo yavina zos. This is what basically we were just talking about.
Yeah.
That our enemies, they won't understand God. They won't understand Hashem's ways. Befroach Rishaim kmo Esev v'yatitu kol pole oven v'shamadam ade'ad. This is in verse 8 about how the wicked will sprout like grass.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see in the next couple of psukim, next couple of verses, that the righteous are compared to date trees and to cedar. And the wicked, who are the wicked compared to?
Grass.
They're compared to grass. Why grass?
It grows everywhere.
It grows everywhere. What else? What's another characteristic of grass?
It gets walked on.
It gets walked on. It gets destroyed. It gets destroyed. So there's a lot of it. Grass is everywhere.
Yeah.
But they get destroyed. And so too the Rishaim, it's saying that they constantly exist throughout history. You're not gonna get away from them. And you can't hide from them, from the enemies. But they will get destroyed. Grass is easily destroyed. In verse 9, you are exalted, Hashem. You raise above them. Even if they're like grass and they're spreading like grass, you are above them. As it says in verse 10, Ki hinei oivecha Hashem, ki hinei oivecha yovedu, yispardu kol pole oven. It says that the enemies of Hashem, they're going to be destroyed. And it says it twice.
Yeah.
That the enemies will be destroyed and the enemies will be destroyed. So why does it say it twice?
I want to just go back to the last part of verse 8, the last part of the sentence, it is only that they may be destroyed forever. So is this saying that the evil people exist just so that they can be destroyed?
I don't think it's saying that they exist
no,
only for
the
them to be
way,
destroyed.
I think it's that you're going to have to be on guard too.
You have to be on guard because...
continuously be destroying because...
Yeah, they're always around. They're always around that they
gone.
Have to be destroyed.
It's not like Achashverosh is gone and now we don't have any more Achashverosh. We have it. There's always in Pesach.
In Pesach,
in every generation, those who rise up against you.
Yeah, but that's the way the English translation makes it sound as though the evil exists, so that they can.
No, yeah. So it means that they will constantly be destroyed because they're constantly around. They will. They are always around, and so therefore they always have to be destroyed.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So going back to verse 10, it repeats the fact that the enemies will be destroyed. So why the repetition? So some explain that we need the repetition just it's for strengthening the point.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing added beyond just strengthening that point. Others explain that the enemies are destroyed in two ways. One is God destroys them. God has a plan to destroy them. The second way that they're destroyed is that the enemies destroy themselves. They are our enemies. The enemies, those who are so much against who we are, about the fact that we believe in good and doing good for the world and following the ways of Hashem, those who rebel against that, so they just destroy themselves in the way they think and the way they act. And you can see that in the world today. Those that are our enemies, so the way they act, they act like animals.
But is it not also our job in part to help destroy the evil? It's not just that they will destroy themselves.
Well, it's also God will destroy them.
And God will destroy them.
God will destroy them.
But don't we have to have some part in that? I mean, we have, at the very least, we have to speak up against evil.
Yes, we do have to. We have to speak, definitely that. Yeah, we have to speak up against evil. That's for sure true.
That's why we have Netanyahu.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's not.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about that afterwards. verse 11. Vatarim kirim karni balosi b'shemen ra'anan. So now it transitions from the enemies to us, that we are raised high above them. It says our horn is high like the ox, and you're also I am soaking in oil. That we are elevated. Our enemies are destroyed, and we are elevated.
And is this a reference that the oil? Is this also a reference to the Mashiach who will be anointed with oil?
I haven't seen that, but it's an interesting idea.
Because I know the kings were.
But Shemin, it does. Shemin, kings were anointed with oil.
And
so were the Kohanim, the priests.
And the Mashiach comes from the family of David.
Yeah. Yeah, but oil, being anointed with oil, just represents the idea of being elevated. That's why the king had it. The priests were also anointed with oil.
I'm taking a bath with eucalyptus oil.
Put some rosemary in there, too.
It's refreshing. It's soothing. It's luxurious is what it is, I think.
In verse 12, V'tabat ene b'shurai b'kamim alai mireim tishmana oznai. I'm going to go a little quickly now because I have to end soon. But we look and we hear. There are two verbs that are used here: looking and hearing at our enemies. Why do we use two different verbs, looking and hearing? Because we see our enemies when they're up close. We could see them when back in the days where they didn't have TV and the internet. So we could see our enemies when they're up close, and we hear them from afar. We could hear them from afar. We could hear about what they're talking about, what they're saying from afar, and we see them up close. So our enemies. We could see them and we could hear them, both the ones that are close to us and those that are far away. And some explain that even our enemies are saying the next couple of verses, which are also very powerful verses about what's going to happen to us. Verse 13, Tzadik hatamar yifrach ke'erez ba'banon yisgeh. The righteous, they bloom like dates and they thrive like cedar. Why dates and cedar? So if you turn the page quickly, this is the Talmud discusses this. It says, why dates and cedar? So I'm skipping to the middle here. It says, Ilu namar tamar velo namar erez. Haisi omer ma tamarim gozu machlif. Af tzadik chas v'shalom ein gozo machlif. Lekach namar erez. The beauty of erez, the beauty of cedar, is that it'll replenish. It'll grow again. As opposed to the date, it's so strong that it'll grow again. The date tree doesn't grow again. Once you cut it, it's not going to grow as strong. But the beauty of the dates, you can see it inside yourself, the beauty of the date tree is that it grows fruit. Mm-hmm. The cedar doesn't grow fruit, the dates have fruit. So the point here is that for the tzaddik, for the righteous, so if they try to knock us down, we'll get up again. And also we have fruits. We continue to grow from generation to generation. We'll continue to exist. Shisulim beves Hashem in verse 14. Shisulim beves Hashem b'chatzros elokinu yafrichu. We will be established in the house of Hashem as righteous people in the times of Mashiach. We will be able to live in the house of Hashem. We'll have such a close relationship with God. Od yinuvim b'seva deshenim v'rananim yehiyu in verse 15. How in old age we'll still be able to produce fruit, and we'll have that freshness. We'll have that freshness even at old age. That the Torah allows us to really. It allows us to exist as youth, even at old age, that we'll have that freshness of the youth. And we don't have time, but if you look at the last source here, it embellishes on that point. And then finally, Lahagi ki yasher Hashem tsuriv lo avlas abo. And in the times of Mashiach, we'll be able to announce and tell everybody about the yashrus of Hashem. Yasher is the straightness of God, how he's straight, he's our rock, and there's nothing cruel or wicked about him. That even though in our times we say that we don't really see the hand of God, certain events we view as cruel and wicked, which is normal and how we're supposed to view those events. But in the times of Mashiach, we'll be able to proclaim that there was nothing that occurred throughout history that was wicked. There was in terms of God planning. There is a concept of free will, but in terms of how God planned the history of the world, God had a certain intention in mind, and nothing within that was wicked. So this is the chapter that we say on Shabbos, because Shabbos is the day of reflection, It's the day of Yom Shekula Shabbos. It's the day that represents the times of Mashiach, where we're supposed to concentrate on Hashem and what occurs within our own lives.